This is episode number 117 of Library of the Living Dead. You are welcome here. Good librarians, and welcome to episode number 117 of Library of the Living Dead. You just heard Zombie, and coming right up is a letter called Sun by Bag of Bones. Then we get a song, Living Dead by Phantom Planet, and then a really weird kind of thing by Tanya Brown called Club Dead. You're gonna love it, bunches. Get the Living Dead beat by Children of Bodom, and then Pain by Lord Astral. Get the Misfits, Hate the Living, Love the Dead. And then we get Chapter 1, Part 1 of Tonya Brown's Lucky Stiff. We'll go out with a song called Blue Collar Zombie by The Slat Band. I hope you enjoy the show. So, hey ho, let's go! Give me some ammo for my shotgun. I ain't got no time to last very long. Oh, the lonely days are here, I've been staying at home. My baby, she wrote me a letter. I don't care how many of those things I gotta kill. I just can't leave my home again. Oh, the lonely days are here, I've been staying home. My baby, she wrote me a letter. She wrote me a letter, said it was a letter from the dead. People, don't forget my words, my baby's undead. Anyway, give me some paper and a pencil. I've still got all those things to kill. Oh, the lonely days are here, I've been staying at home. My baby, she wrote me a letter. Baby done wrote me a letter. My baby 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 wrote me a letter.
My baby wrote me a letter.
My baby wrote me a letter. My baby wrote me a letter. It was a letter from the dead. My baby wrote me a letter from the dead. My baby wrote me a letter. My baby wrote me a letter from the dead. From the dead. Welcome to the Black Empties, Letters from the Dead.
Son, when you wake in the morning, I'll be gone. I want you to know that I love you. Always have, always will. The brightest part of my life has always been you and your sister, even though I couldn't show it all the time. No matter what, I've tried to do right by you. even if it meant doing things you didn't understand at the time. This is another one of those times. This is why I have to leave you with your grandpa. Don't worry. He'll take good care of you. Be sure to listen to him and always trust him. No matter what, don't think I'm leaving you because of something you did or didn't do, or that I'm mad at you in any way. I'm leaving because I was bitten on the arm this morning by one of the dead. It hurts really bad. I can feel the fever coming on. That's why I have to leave. I don't want to hurt you or Grandpa when I turn. Grandpa said he'd take care of me when the time comes. But I know it would break his heart, just as it would mine, if it was him instead of me. I know you're scared, but Gramps will take care of you. Don't worry about me. When it's time, I'll be with your mama and your little sis in heaven. We'll watch over you the best we can. I'm going to try to get as far away as I can before the end. Hopefully, I can find some help for the two of you before I go. There's a blackness that it calls to me, and I think I just saw your mother. She's telling me to hurry up, because the fever is really cold. I'm cold. I have to go. I love you, little. I always love you. You good bay, honey. Goodbye, lovey daddy.
Like you said, I'm conquering this city. Welcome to Club Dead. Hello, and welcome to the world premiere in spa and health facilities, Club Dead. First of all, we'd like to thank you for your patronage and congratulate you on your fine taste in making us your spa of choice. We know you have a wide world of resorts to choose from, and again we thank you for giving us your precious time and business. This pamphlet is designed to help you familiarize yourself with the amenities and services we offer here at Club Dead. There is so much to take in and so much to see and do that at times it can feel almost overwhelming. But just keep in mind that we are open year-round, so what you might miss experiencing this time, you can always come back and enjoy another day. Before we go into the details of our health programs, allow us to explain a little of our history here at Club Dead. Following the Great Uprising of 2012 and the ensuing War of the Risen, few have had the vision of our founder, Thaddeus Waters, for adapting the service industry to the new workforce available. We all know Mr. Waters as the father of modern undead prosthetics harvesting, and also as the founder of the number one private postal delivery system in the world, Dead Express. After an incident in his Malibu home involving an escaped Risen, an exhausted Mr. Waters was struck with a brilliant idea, and Club Dead was born. Safety first. The first thing you may notice upon entering Dead is the high level of security. Don't panic. Those armed men and women surrounding the premises are here to ensure your protection. We offer many levels of treatment here at Dead, and for the safety of all of our members, we ask that you do not engage the security team unless you require defense. Please note that defense should only be defined as a life-threatening situation involving a Risen. Day-to-day requests should be directed to our concierge or other staff, both living and dead, available all across the grounds. Spotting a staff member is easy. Just look for the crisp white uniform and colorful staff badge. If you are unable to find a staff member to assist you, or are uncomfortable engaging our undead associates, just seek out a white courtesy phone and lift the receiver. A living operator will be standing by to take your requests. If you find you do require defense and are unable to find a security team member, seek one of the many red safety stations to sound the alarm. A security team member should be with you momentarily. If the security team does not respond within 5 minutes, please feel free to seek the closest exit in a neat and orderly fashion. Let's get physical. Club Dead has a unique series of programs designed to help you lose weight and feel great. From a gourmet kitchen that serves health-conscious meals to a rigorous exercise regimen, the time you spend at Dead will be time well invested in your health. Our program is catered to every body type, so don't worry if you feel you're too out of shape or too sedentary for our exercise routines. With the exception of our extreme courses, we can adapt any routine to anyone. Here are just a few of the many programs we offer. Dead on Your Feet. Our award-winning flagship program and number one recommended choice among members. Club Dead has taken the simple jog in the park and gave it purpose. Why just run when you can run away? With a few loosely restrained Risen on your heels, that simple jog will become a thrilling life or death struggle. As we say at Club Dead, jog for your health, run for your life. Dead in the Water. Our sister program to Dead on Your Feet. Swimming in circles got you down? Then add a few Risen to the water and watch the waves roll. No more boring laps back and forth across the pool. Imagine swimming in a raging river with up to 5 tethered Risen, swimming only a few strokes behind you. Wet and wild danger makes for a thrilling swimming session. Deadmill. Tired of the mindless treadmill walking but not interested in the high-impact stress of jogging? Say no more! Our new program incorporates the danger of escaping the Risen with a low-impact treadmill routine. You'll find yourself motivated as never before with your treadmill surrounded by caged Risen, hands clutching at your ankles, jaws snapping at your back. Walk either too fast or too slow and they'll nab you, so keep your pace steady and walk your way to a leaner, safer you. Dead serious. Extreme routine. For those who feel that our controlled danger situations are not intense enough, we here at Club Dead have a treat just for you. After you are paired with a personal coach and infected with a small dose of the Risen virus, you have just 48 hours to make the 10-mile trek to find the cure. Hike over treacherous landscape and up steep mountainsides as you grow weaker and weaker from the infection. This treatment is not for the faint of heart. Failure is not an option for our most extreme course ever. Body and Mind. Among our fitness programs, we also offer the height in modern medicinal advances for toning the body and building the mind. Everything from meditation to nutritional regimes, we focus on the person as a whole. Here are just a few examples of our award-winning therapeutic programs. Yoga. Join our undead experts as they bend, flex, and twist your body in ways you never thought possible. Unliving Leeches. Modern science takes a lesson from days of old with this unusual detoxifying technique. Massage Therapy. Let our tireless staff of well-trained risen rub those worries away for hours at a time. Controlled Infections. In small doses, the risen virus can be especially helpful in firming facial features and toning flabby bits of the body. A Final Word. Once again, we thank you for choosing Club Dead as your preferred spa. As you stroll through the grounds and take in the many amenities we have to offer, please take a moment to familiarize yourself with the red safety stations in place all over the resort. Though we have no reason to suspect any situation in which you will need to employ the safety stations, we still recommend being ready to do so at any given time. We cannot stress enough that safety will always come first here at Club Dead. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy everything Club Dead has to offer.
was a mild itching. Then it became a comfortable sensitivity. Then it turned to pain. Then agony. Now his skin was filled with the fires of the damned, and every organ in his body screamed in protest at the torture they underwent. He was dying. At least he hoped he was. Nothing made it better, and another tidal wave of horrendous sensation crashed into him. His brain, that poor lump of flesh, felt like it was being torn into pieces, picked apart by the crows of 1,000 battlefields. Crabs ripped at him from inside, their invisible claws crushing his veins and slashing his arteries. His heart was consumed by rats, somehow their ever-sharp teeth gnashing and ripping, pulling strands of heart muscle apart, fiber by fiber. Searing, blistering, agonizing torture. If there was such a thing as ultimate pain, this was it. There could be nothing worse to experience. His mind shut down in defense, his fading consciousness retreating under the weight of unbearable, racking pain. His body started moaning involuntarily, a repeated wall of soul-cutting, mind-rending injury. The pain consumed his world. Then he saw the thing. It was running from him. It wasn't in pain. How dare something that looked like him run away and not stop his pain? Maybe it was afraid he would give it pain. How dare it not be in pain while he was in such suffering? With yet another moan of agony, he lurched forward, desperate to give his pain to something else, anything else. It turned and pointed something. It went flash and bang. Something hit him, and the pain of the bang almost distracted him from the pain of everything else. He jumped forward and bit down on the shoulder of the thing that was screaming. At least now, the it that ran from him would feel the pain, too. The screeching, burning, incinerating pain. Pain. At least something else felt the pain. And that felt good. It was time to spread the pain. Library of the Living Dead is now proud to present Tonya Brown's erotic horror novel, Lucky Stiff. Get your Peter out, folks.
Lucky Stiff, Memoirs of an Undead Lover by Tonya Brown. This one is for Stephanie, my editor, my cheerleader, my friend. If you hadn't believed in Peter, none of us would have made it this far. He's as much yours as he is mine, and he loves you as much as I do. May LaCroix bring you all you desire in life. because you deserve so much more. Chapter 1. I was never much of a lover when I was alive, but all of that changed once my heart stopped beating. My name is Peter Lyles, and I'm dead. Trust me, I know how that sounds, like an admission of guilt or the beginning of some kind of 12-step program for the recently deceased, but stay with me on this. I promise it won't be all doom and gloom. Death isn't quite the tragedy I was told it would be. Take, for example, the fact that death has greatly improved my sex life. One day I'm struggling to find the nerve to even talk to a girl, and the next I get more bangs than a fireworks factory on the 4th of July. Imagine my surprise. It is even more of a shock than returning from the grave. But I'm getting ahead of myself. You see, it all started my sophomore year in college, April of 85, right after my 18th birthday. Things were different then. Reagan was just sworn in for a second term. Madonna was big on the airwaves. I thought I had my whole life ahead of me. Spring break rolled around, so the guys and I took a run down to New Orleans for a little well-deserved R&R. For me, that meant rest and relaxation. For the other three, it meant reefers and roofies. Now, our pal Mooch was local, so with his help, we stayed off the beaten path and away from the touristy hangouts. In other words, the guys could stay wasted 24/7 without running into much authority, which was fine with me. I wasn't much into the partying scene. Midterms had just about wiped me out, and I was all about the rest and maybe a little relaxation. Trouble was, I couldn't wind down. No matter how much I tried, I couldn't seem to still my mind. It was coiled up tighter than a snake, filled with the venom of theorems and chemical compounds and anatomy charts and literature quotes, and if I didn't get some rest soon, I was going to lose my tiny little mind. What you need is some weed, Jack said. Jack was always a fan of the herb, staying jacked up on the wacky tobacco most of his waking hours. How he managed to make his way through classes from year to year was beyond me. Personally, I never liked the idea of smoking, tobacco or otherwise. I tried a cigarette. Once, and after I coughed myself to the point of pissing, I regained my ability to breathe and swore I'd never go that route again. What you need is to get laid, Mooch said, and that was Mooch all over. He thought sex was the answer to everything. Of course, for him it was. The man was a panty-dropping machine. For me, however, sex was a little harder to come by. Granted, Mooch had a few years on me, still in his second year of college at 23, and the eldest among us. And at the time, I thought that even if I were given an equal amount of years to make up for it, there was no way I could ever have hoped to catch up with his level of female conquests. How little we know till we arrive. So, there I was, longing for sleep like a fat kid craved cake, and all I had to tuck me in were an illegal substance and an impossible dream. A Dave came to my pharmaceutical rescue. What you need is sedatives, he said. Dave had abandoned the simplicity of weed years ago in favor of pill-shaped happiness. He was well known across our campus as Drugstore Dave. I don't know, I said. I don't want to get hooked on anything. Who said anything about getting hooked? Dave asked. The sleeping pills, not crack, you dickhead. He waggled one of his infamous baggies at me before he dropped it in my lap. Little white beauties teased me through the clear plastic, taunting me with their smoothness, devoid of numbers or letters or any identifying marks whatsoever. What are they? I asked. Some over-the-counter thing, Dave said. In a zip-top bag. Dave shrugged. What? I got them for half price because the bottle was busted. So, what are they? I don't remember the brand name. The only thing I remember is that they're a really low dose, like for kids or old folks or something. You might need to take a few to get some sleep. I eyed the plastic baggie as I mulled over his words. Naturally, I was wary, but I was also desperate. I hadn't had a decent night's sleep in nearly 3 weeks. So, down the pills went. Then, down I went. And neither the pills nor I got back up that night. I never blamed the guys for what they did to me. I still don't. Hell, if it weren't for their screw-up, I'd probably be behind some boring desk filling out boring forms for the rest of my boring life instead of... But, again, I'm getting ahead of myself. No, I don't blame them. They were just trying to help out a friend in need. Indeed. Funny thing was, even though I qualified for the big dirt nap, I remember everything they said and did with a terrifying clarity. It was as though my spirit spent the next few hours hanging out, watching the action, like it knew I was due to come back. The guys closed the door to my part of the suite once the pills put me under. A few hours later, Jack found me lying face down on the hotel bed, just as he had left me. But by now, I was as blue as ice, and every bit as chilled. He was the first to panic. Jack had a tendency to freak out over every little thing, so I imagine the death of his best friend hit him the hardest. "He's not breathing, man," Jack said as he stooped over my still form. And he backed away from my body, doing that weird little dance he did when things got too heavy for him. Toe-to-toe, foot-to-foot he swayed, his thin frame shaking with what I assumed was fear. "He's been out for 3 hours, and he's not breathing, guys!" "Oops," Dave said, retrieving the baggie from my now cold fingers. What does oops mean?" Jack asked. "What the hell does oops mean?" "It means those once sleeping pills," Dave confessed. "What'd you give him?" Mooch asked. "Adams," Dave said as he sifted through the remaining pills. "About 5 of them." "Holy shit," Mooch said. And that got even Dave and Mooch doing the worry two-step all over the place. And no wonder, too, seeing as how our old friend Adam was involved. Kids these days call that intimate little trip in the form of a white pill by a different name. Ecstasy. "Oh my God," Dave cried. "We killed him." "What's this wee shit?" Mooch asked, drawing up to his full height. "It was your dope." "Yeah, but you got him for me, man," Dave said. Mooch slumped back to his usual lumbering form. "We killed him," Jack echoed. "We killed Peter." "We gotta think," Dave said. "Think about what?" Mooch asked. "How to hide the body?" "You got it," Dave said. "You can't be serious," Jack protested. "We can't just leave him like this." "What else can we do?" Dave asked. "We don't have a choice." "We can't," Jack said. "He's our friend." "Was our friend," Mooch said. "He's worm food now, man." "But," Jack started. "Look, asshole," Dave said, backing Jack into the corner of the room. "Everyone who knows Peter knows he's a prude. He don't drink, he don't fuck, and he certainly don't do drugs. So who are they going to blame this on, huh?" Jack turned a fine shade of white. And I would have loved to have laid Dave out for putting Jack in that kind of position, but Guy had a point. When I was alive, I was the king of self-denial. I might have accepted a few sedatives, sure, but there was no way folks would believe I had taken 5 atoms on my own. They were screwed. "Do you want to go to prison, Jack?" Mooch asked. Jack shook his head, his lips quivering just a little, like he might cry any minute. With a grunt, Dave left Jack to cower in the corner. "Well, unless you want to spend tonight curled up in a fetal position downtown, contemplating how sexy your first man love session in prison will be, I suggest you start coming up with places to hide him."
"But Peter's our friend," Jack whimpered. "We can't just leave him for dead. It isn't right."
Dave spun on his heel, fist raised with what I'm sure was every intention of beating the crybaby out of Jack, when Mooch spoke up.
"Jack might be onto something," Mooch said.
"What are you squawking about?" Dave asked.
"We don't have to just leave him dead," Mooch said with a grin.
"We don't?" Jack asked.
"No," Mooch said, his grin growing wider. I might have just been a disembodied spirit, but even I got the creepy crawlies from that grin.
"What are you thinking, Mooch?" Dave wondered.
"I'm thinking we go see Madame Sangreal."
"Who the hell's that?" Dave asked.
"This old witch that lives just outside my neighborhood where I grew up." Mooch took on a far-off look, like he was remembering something pleasant. "Some of us kids used to do odd jobs for her. Of course, we weren't supposed to, but we did it anyways. She let us smoke and drink and stuff. Hell, I bet she's still in that same old place up in the swamps."
"Why would we want to bother with some old bitch?" Dave asked. Mooch snapped back to the present with another sly grin.
"I didn't call her a bitch, though it ain't far from it." He smiled wider, and said, as if it explained everything, "Locals call her the Voodoo Queen." When Dave and Jack still looked unconvinced, he added, "Folks say she can do things to people. Dead people." Understanding opened Dave's face for a moment before skepticism pinched it closed. "You've got to be shitting me." "I don't understand," Jack said. "You're being serious," Dave asked. "She can bring him back?" Mooch shrugged. "Maybe. She's into all kinds of freaky junk." No one comes back from the dead," Jack scoffed. "That's impossible." "I've seen her do weirder shit," Mooch said. "If she can't bring him back, I bet she'll know how to fix this mess." So it was settled. They rolled my corpse into the bathroom rug, so when they carted me to the back of Dave's van at 2 a.m, I looked like nothing more than a fat ball of carpet. It was Mooch's idea, or rather an idea that Mooch borrowed from some TV show. No surprise there. Jack blabbered all the way to the madam's place, which I suppose is better than blubbering, but not by much. His biggest worry, as it turned out, was not the fact that they killed me, but what they were planning on doing with me. "This seems wrong," he repeated for the umpteenth time. "Will you shut it?" Dave shouted. "You cry one minute about not leaving him for dead, and then you whine the next about not bringing him back. Make up your mind, you pussy!" "I just meant we couldn't leave him lying around somewhere," Jack said. "I didn't mean we should practice black magic on him." "We aren't practicing anything," Mooch said. "The madam will handle it. She lives for this kind of shit. Just follow my lead, and for shit's sake, don't ask any questions. She hates to be questioned."
You really think she can do it?" Dave asked.
"Wouldn't surprise me if she could," Mooch said. "Trust me, she knows stuff that will blow your little mind."
"How come you know so much about her?" Jack demanded. Mooch waggled his eyebrows. "'Cause she blows more than just minds." Jack blinked a few times. "I thought you said she was, like, 100 years old.
"Give or take a few centuries?" Mooch shrugged.
Jack groaned. "Ugh, it'd be like doing your grandma."
"Shit, man, she ain't nothing like your grandma, or my grandma, or anyone's grandma ever." Mooch lowered one hand to the crotch of his jeans to perform a little adjustment, then continued. "You won't believe how good that mouth feels when she takes her teeth out."
"Geez, Mooch," Dave said. "Is there anything you won't bone?"
"And leave it to Mooch. He always had an eye for the dark and mysterious. By dark, I mean foreign chicks. And by mysterious, well, I mean that coveted act that was, to me, one of life's greatest mysteries. Yep, I died as a registered member of the V Club, unless you include my nightly visits with Rosie Palm and her 5 sisters. It wasn't that I didn't want to have sex. I just never seemed to have the time. Nor was I actually presented with the opportunity, so to speak. Girls seemed put off by my brains, although Jack always said it was my lack of charm, while Mooch said I was just ass ugly. Now, I never thought of myself as particularly ugly, but the lack of tail seemed to prove his point. As a redhead, I could barely spend any time in the sun without smoldering, so I was not only ginger, but too pale to boot. Pair these winning attributes with the constant brush of freckles I couldn't shed, as well as my bone-thin frame, and it was no wonder that the opposite sex saw me as more of a friend and less of a boy. Mooch tried to set me up with a hooker once or twice, but I didn't like the idea of having to pay for something the other guys got for free. Now, all things considered, this seems kind of ironic, doesn't it? The madam's shop, a small 2-bedroom house, rested just on the outskirts of a thick, damp swamp. They wrestled my body from the van and lugged me up the steps, propping me against the porch post while they debated their approach. They didn't have long to scheme. Their furious whispers and clipped bickering woke the lady of the house in a right hurry. The door creaked open, just a crack, silencing the guys. "What can I do for you boys?" came a sultry voice from behind the door. The madam's accent lilted with that island cadence that seems forced when you first hear it, but soon settles on the ear like a lover's lapping tongue. "Hey, babe," Mooch shot his typical player's grin. I had seen that grin lift many a skirt for the man.
"Moochie, baby, long time no see. What's it been? A lifetime?"
"Feels like it."
"Ain't you grown up all handsome? Where you been, lover boy?"
Mooch smiled.
Been busy with school. Missed you, though. Her laughter was low, throaty, the growl of some wild animal.
Like a dose of the clap, you missed me. Dat why you come running back when you in trouble, and not when you need some lovin'.
Jack gasped. Mooch eyed him into silence, then turned back to the door with a sheepish look.
Yeah, about that. We sure could use your help.
Sangrel knows you do, she answered. The door creaked wider. A dark, sinewy arm slipped out of the opening, beckoning us inside.
Bring your young selves in, and don't forget the stiff. And I'm not talking about the one between your legs.
After the zombie apocalypse decimates the world, human civilization has put itself back together again. Their secret weapon against the zombie hordes? The mechs. Massive robotic battle machines. But what happens when a mech pilot dies in his mech and becomes a zombie? Hell on Earth is unleashed. Prepare for a high-action, fast-paced hell ride through a futuristic wasteland as Mech Base Commander James Caprizi and his crew of mech pilots battle zombies, cannibals, religious cults, and worst of all, the dead mechs, all to try and save the human race one last time. Jake Bible's Dead Mech, the world's first drabble novel, is coming fall 2010 from Library of the Living Dead Press. Go to jakebible.com or libraryofthelivingdead.lefora.com. for more information and for updates on the release date. Dead Mech. The future may not be completely dead, but it's on its way.